Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Hey, have I got a great story about my childhood for you all?
Okay, John, first of all, hold on. Sorry, everybody. Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast. My name is Brayden, and the eager beaver being slightly rude over there, his name is John Drabert.
Hey, guys.
John, does your story have anything to do with the Bible story today?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so that's John speak for not very much. So we're going to wait then, and I'm going to tell my story, and then you can tell your story later.
Later. Got it.
Exactly. So today we're going to hear about Jesus attending a wedding. Now, the critical lesson for us today in this story that we're going to see is that Jesus cares about us, not just in the big things, not in the, you know, massive changes in our life, but in the small everyday things, in the things that we care about. So we get to learn that Jesus cares about us in everything.
All right. Can I tell my story now? So I have two older brothers and a younger sister. I was always the kid that wanted to be included in the family. I always wanted to be doing what my older brothers were doing, but I was just not allowed because I was small and younger than them. We had a large lot on the edge of town, and there was a huge hill across the entire property. Okay, probably not a huge hill, but when you're seven standing at the top of the hill on a bike, it looks pretty huge.
Okay, John, take a breath. Again, okay. Hold that thought.
It's later.
No, my story first. So, right. I'm going to tell the Bible story, and then we can go to your story about your childhood. There was so many years ago. So, a little background on our story today is Jesus is attending a wedding, and we're seeing this in the New Testament. However, he's not as popular as we see him later on. He hasn't yet started healing people and performing miracles publicly, and so he's not being followed by large mass groups of people yet. And so he's at a wedding with his mom, Mary, as we know, and some of the disciples and probably some of his brothers and other people that he would have known.
So this story is written in the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Perfect. So I think the last wedding I went to, it's a little bit of a blur. I had seven weddings all in one summer.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You should have taken a wedding sabbatical.
I should have. I basically did have to take time off for every wedding, and I was actually in all of the wedding parties, so I didn't even get to just sit and watch. I had to be there. And
wow, you're super popular.
Yeah, you know what? It's just, it comes with being so handsome.
Right. Right.
So anyway, the seven weddings, you know what? I really enjoyed the food. I love dancing, and so I had a lot of fun, and I got to celebrate with some really close friends.
Well, I think the last wedding I attended was here at the camp, Covenant Bay Bible Camp. A couple of my friends got married. The banquet was great. We had tons of food, good time celebrating their new life together. It was great.
That was John's first and only wedding that he's ever been to.
I am married.
Less popular than me.
Fair enough.
Just kidding. So anyway, again, we're seeing Jesus at a wedding, and this is in the town of Cana, and he would have been there again with his disciples and his mom. And at these weddings in Jesus's day, there was some things that were very important, some things really traditional that we see some of in today's wedding, but specifically food and wine was very important for them. And in fact, to run out of food or wine as you're celebrating would have been quite embarrassing for the bride and the groom.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine if the caterers at this last wedding that I was at didn't have enough food for everyone. That would have been awful.
Could you imagine? And at the bride and groom, like, that would have been embarrassing to have that.
Yeah.
So everyone at this wedding is starting to notice that the servers are no longer bringing them wine. So some people are getting annoyed or frustrated, and others are starting to ask questions. It's probably this, like, you know, awkward moment as people start to notice, like, uh-oh, my cup is empty and it's not getting refilled. And so I imagine the wedding celebration just went from kind of fun to people being like, ooh, a little bit cranky, a little bit off put, and certainly not what you want for, you know, celebrating a marriage of two people.
You know, I think one of the things that would have been really interesting or interesting dynamic is to get a picture or a little video scene into the family dynamics of, hey, we're running out of wine, what are we going to do about it? And that would have been kind of an interesting place to be, even though it would have been like a lot of tension.
Totally. I know from being in so many weddings that things might look calm in front, and behind the scenes, things can be going mad crazy. Hmm. But back to the story. So Mary, Jesus's mother, leans over to her son and she says to him, well, there's no more wine. But then Jesus says to his mother, well, it's not our problem. Besides, my time has not yet come.
So that's kind of a weird statement. What's he mean by this? That is saying his time has not yet come.
As I said earlier, we haven't seen Jesus, or currently, sorry, Jesus isn't as popular as he's going to get. We don't see him being followed by thousands of people here at this wedding. And so I assume he's referring to the fact that it's not his time to start performing miracles or healing people or teaching. It's not his time to be well known just yet. Mary, however, didn't really care at this time if his time had come or not. She knows that there's a problem and he can do something about it. So there's probably a little bit of an eye roll and a head shake between both of them, you know, as I'm sure we've had with our mothers when they want us to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. You know, imagine Mary hearing Jesus say, it's not our problem. My time has not yet come. But you know what? Maybe Jesus had a twinkle in his eye or a little bit of a smirk on his face. We see Jesus's mom looks up, Mary looks up, and she gets a server's attention. She says right to the server, do whatever he tells you to do. So now she's put Jesus on the spot very directly. So it's either he does something about the problem or he has to awkwardly explain to the server that's been pulled aside by his mother why he's supposed to listen to everything that he says.
Or maybe why he shouldn't be listening if he's not wanting to do the miracle.
Exactly.
So moms are pretty smart. I know my mom is. And they know how to get their kids to do what they want.
For sure.
Neither one of us are that clever. And if you can't tell by our voices, we're never going to be moms.
We are not. And certainly I've been outwitted by my mother on several occasions. So Jesus looks over and he sees 30 large jars, each of which could hold probably 20 to 30 gallons of water. He tells the server to fill them up with water. And once they're filled with water, Jesus then instructs them to serve those to some of the hosts. So the host takes a sip. The person who is putting on the wedding takes a sip from this cup that the server has just poured water into. And he looks at the cup and he's impressed of the quality of wine that he's just tasted. Jesus took the water that was poured out of those jars and turned it into wine. And not only just wine, but really good wine. And it's a miracle. In fact, it's Jesus's first miracle. And then one of the hosts goes over to the groom and he asks, why are they serving the best wine toward the end of the wedding or the end of the celebration when, generally speaking, you're supposed to serve the best stuff at the beginning?
That's pretty awesome what Jesus just did here.
Yeah. So again, this is Jesus's first miracle. And it's the beginning of him revealing and speaking openly about who he is as the Son of God. And I mean, who but God could do such a thing? After the wedding, Jesus and Mary, his mom, and his brothers and the disciples, they all leave. They go to Capernaum for a few days. And I'm sure that the disciples and his brothers and his mom were all trying to just process what they had just seen.
Hmm. So the lesson we can learn from this is that if we put Jesus on the spot awkwardly, he will do what we want.
No, that's not the lesson at all.
Oh.
So the lesson is Jesus cares about us, even in the little stuff.
Right.
The bride and the groom would have been embarrassed running out of wine, and Jesus cared for those people.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge deal in that time to not have enough for a celebration.
Exactly. But truthfully, I mean, having enough wine or not having enough wine wouldn't have changed the course of history as you and I know it. You know, we wouldn't be living different lives. Mistakes like that get made all of the time and people get through it. The point is, though, that Jesus cares about those things. It's not necessarily a matter of changing history or not. It's actually just about the relationship that he has with those people. It can be very simple, or it can be a really large problem, but Jesus cares enough about it to help us through.
Hmm. Well, you know, that reminds me.
Does it?
So at the top of this hill, I was on my bike, and my brothers had established this bike path. Now, it went through a bunch of large mounds of dirt, rocks, and a whack load of thistles. Now, a week or two earlier, my dad had bought me a brand new red and yellow banana seat bike. It was awesome.
Okay, first of all, I am assuming we're back to your story.
Right, yes, we are. And a banana your story's done.
Apparently, my story's over. And a banana seat bike, is that like a bike made of fruit, John? I'm too young to know these things, so okay. That sounds like an old person thing.
Google it, because you know how to Google things, because you are young and hip, apparently.
Exactly.
And you'll see what a banana seat bike looks like.
Sounds good.
They're awesome. So, yeah, the bike had a piece of plastic. It was yellow with the number 7 on it, which I don't know why, but in my 7-year-old mind, it made it awesome. Now, I was told not to ride my bike down this path, and for a good reason. It was simply dangerous. So imagine me at the top of this hill with my swim goggles on, with a cape flapping in the wind, ready to go down this hill.
Right. It's like what you wear to work every day, swim goggles and a cape.
Okay. I might be the superhero around here, but you know, you don't have to announce that to everyone. I just announced it to everyone. Okay, maybe I didn't wear all of that, but you can imagine it because it makes for a better story.
Okay.
So I'm at the top of the hill, and I'm terrified, but I also am super excited and ready for the thrill of conquering this bike path. So with knots in my stomach and a voice saying this is a bad idea, I lifted my foot and I let gravity take over. And I was started to go down the hill on the bike.
You should have listened to that voice.
I probably should have. So I got through the easy part, which, well, it's no surprise. And when I had got to the part where I had to dodge both a large dirt mound and a thistle patch, I crashed. And I crashed hard. I broke the plastic number 7.
Oof.
One of the pedals hit the dirt mound and ripped off. I flew over the handlebars, hit another dirt mound, and another patch of thistles.
Ouch.
So I got this wind knocked out of me, and I'm rolling around, and I get up, and I gasp for air. I was hurting. I picked myself up, I picked my bike up, and I wheel it up to the garage. I didn't want my parents to find out. So I bandaged myself up as best I could as a 7-year-old. Really doesn't know what he's doing when he's bandaging himself up. Pulled out all the thistles I could find, and I pretended nothing happened.
Great. I'm a little lost. We just talked about Jesus being at a wedding and that he cares for us, and now we're talking about you having a lot of thistles in you. Are we connecting anything here?
Yeah, that's a fair question. So I was lying in the dirt. Here's the connection. Okay. I was lying in the dirt, and I remember I prayed for two things. The first was, help! You know, this kind of gaspy, this raspy voice that couldn't really breathe. And the second prayer was, help me not to get into trouble.
Right.
So maybe not the finest prayers I've ever spoken, but they were super honest and super sincere.
Fair enough. So did you end up getting into trouble?
Yeah, I did. My prayers weren't answered at all. But I shouldn't say they weren't answered at all. But I didn't get in trouble till later. And the point is, God saw me. God cared about me, even in a situation that I was of my own making. I disobeyed my parents.
Right.
He helped me navigate the conversation with my dad, and he also protected me. Hard to believe. Another shocking thing for you. There were no bike helmets when I was a kid.
Wow.
It was just us on a bike, a banana seat bike. And, you know, I had a few cuts and bruises and the wind knocked out of me. That was enough for me to learn to obey my parents.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't obviously obey my parents flawlessly from that point on, but it was a big lesson for me. He cares about us a lot and will help us out even if we do something harmful to ourselves or others.
I think I get it. It's a very different story than the one we had spoken about with Jesus.
Completely different.
I mean, I don't think Jesus was wearing swim goggles and a cape, although it would make for an amazing story. But the theme is that Jesus cares about us. And I think, you know, we can draw an understanding through the people at the wedding, the people hosting the wedding. You know, maybe they had been told to get more wine a day before the wedding, or maybe someone had warned them that, you know, that wasn't enough. And someone certainly warned you not to go down a dangerous hill of thistles, but it happened. And we see in both of these stories that Jesus is still there and active and caring and nurturing for you and the people at the wedding.
Yeah. Even though in my story there was no miraculous ending, I knew God was present.
No, I mean, you survived.
I did. And I probably am just fine still, right?
I mean,
don't
sure.
answer. Don't answer that. It's time for our growth tip, a way for you to grow in relationship with Jesus.
Perfect. I got our growth tip here today, John. And it's really simple. So in both of these stories, we see that Jesus was made aware of the problem, that God was made aware. And so that's what I believe our growth tip is this week, is to ask God for help.
So, Braden,
yes.
What's your situation? What do you need help with?
So, on the theme of weddings, I am currently in the process of planning my own.
Bum, 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 bum.
And you know what? Planning a wedding in COVID times is very difficult, as probably I have been told many times by other people.
I would think so.
Yeah. And so actually, there's just a lot of things that are really stressful about that. And we recognize, me and my fiance, that it's not about us and it's not specifically about that day, but you want things to go well. And so we pray that God helps us in that and that we're able to enjoy the day and things go well.
I wish my 7-year-old swim goggle cape wearing self could plan your wedding for you. It would be epic.
I would totally wear swim goggles and a cape. Perfect.
I think we've got your wedding outfit planned for you.
It's settled. What about you, John?
You know, my kids are going back to school. It's fall. We're kind of getting back into the routine. And I'm asking God to keep everyone safe and help us find some good routines in the midst of times that are really different. Like, we've never gone back to school in this manner before. So, it's kind of an interesting fall for us and for everyone else. And so we're just asking God to be present and help us with those routines.
That's awesome. So again, just to reiterate our growth tip, ask God for help. Invite him into a situation. Let him know what you're going through, whether that's something really big or something very ordinary. He cares about you and wants to help.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening today. I had a great time. And Braden, thanks for letting me tell my story.
No problem. I didn't have a choice. You really just jumped right in there.
That's true.
Again, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We always really appreciate it. If you are enjoying the stories that you're hearing week after week, please subscribe and you'll get notifications to continue listening. Until next time, we're going to chat next week.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.